podcast dedicated to the Hunger Games series by Suzanne Collins. Happy New Year, guys. Matt and Kira here from Netlock Podcast. Along with our two guest hosts today, this is Mariah and Diana. Say hi, guys.
Hey, guys.
Hi, guys.
And so if you remember, Mariah was on episode 7 with us, and then Diana came on episode 11. So
12.
I thought it was 8.
No, 11. No. 12 was the Christmas one.
Oh, guys. 12 was Christmas. Yeah, sorry, 11. You're right.
So they're back today, and we got a lot of fun stuff planned for you guys. A lot of new stories analyzed in chapters 19 and 20.
My favorite chapter.
Featuring a new Hunger Games song, Safe and Sound. And also, just to remind you guys, Squarespace, who is the website that we're partnering with that is hosting our website, is offering a free trial for you guys. If you go to squarespace.com/nightlock. There's a 12-week trial for your...
Two-week trial.
Yeah.
Two-week trial
for your own website. No experience is necessary to set it up. They've helped you throughout the entire process. And it looks very professional if you guys go onto a website. It doesn't look like it was done by two teenagers. It looks very professional done.
Yes, for businesses, blog, or even a podcast. So.
And now we're going to move on to our mock and mail segment. Let's have Mariah read this one.
What? No, actually, Diana's reading this.
Oh!
Mariah can read the next one, because this is really, really
guys.
Long. And Diana volunteered. Sorry. All right, but if you're going to comment on it, say that you're not reading anymore or something. You know what I mean? Because you're going to have, a freak-out moment, so.
Will I?
I probably will.
Okay. Hello, Kira and Matt. First of all, I love the podcast. It's great. It brightens up my weekend. Stop moving it down, I can't read it.
I'm reading it.
You can't move it down while I'm trying to read. Okay, shut up, Matt.
I didn't say it.
I thought that the music from The Last Airbender, which you played on episode 11, could be used to build tension, perhaps when Katniss is hiding in the tree and Fox's face pops up. It was sinister and created an eerie atmosphere. I think that it would keep the audience on the edge of their seats. On episode 11, I think this quote from John Green would have been very appropriate when Diana decided to insult your listeners, us nerds, saying, I notice you're a nerd is like saying, hey, I notice that you'd rather be intelligent than be stupid, that you'd rather be thoughtful than be vapid, that you believe that there are things that matter more than the arrest record of Lindsay Lohan.
That quote, that is so great.
That is a great quote. In response to your 12th episode, I agree what you said about the Church of England and how they want you follow their religion. Since I live in England, I've experienced this. For example, when I left my primary school, I was given a Bible. Then in year 7, 6th grade, everyone at my school was given a book with excerpts from the Bible in it. But the main one was when I had to go to church on a Sunday every week just to get into my primary school. I believe you should be able to have your own religion, but you shouldn't force it upon others. And I believe that the capital could impose a religion upon people if they wanted to, but I don't think they would. As the people in the capital are very vain and materialistic and often join a religion, they would have to lose some of their lavish lifestyle, which I doubt that they would do. But religion can sometimes cause conflicts between people in the capital would probably want to prevent this. Also, I would like to thank you because you helped me with my drama coursework by playing the Indiana Jones theme. Thanks.
That was us humming it.
Rachel Gale, UK. First off, it's awesome that her last name is Gale.
Yeah.
But just wanted to say. And I don't know why she thinks I was insulting people by calling them nerds.
You kind of were.
I said people should be proud. I think that's a quote from what I said.
Okay. People should be proud.
I don't know. I'm such...
You did say people should be proud.
I don't know. I'm so immersed in nerdfighteria that I sometimes forget that the word nerd is not a compliment.
No, I think it is.
Yep. But yeah.
No. All right.
Anyway.
Well, I
no one
really...
knows what nerdfighteria is, but I am such
a
fan.
I do. I'm not immersed in it as others are. I'm just... skimming the surface
I'm
of
so
nerdfighteria, but
I'm so excited actually that she had that quote from John Green because I love John Green.
That
so
is
much.
Really good. Quote.
Yeah. If you guys haven't read Looking for Alaska, best book.
Aren't you saying
that?
His brother Hank Green has a pretty amazing Hunger Games makeup tutorial on YouTube.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
You should check it out.
Kira didn't know something about the Hunger Games? What is this? Marvels.
Universe.
Alright.
And I like
how
religion
saying,
was
just
pretty
saying,
interesting.
Just
yeah.
It out.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Going back to the email, not getting too off task, as we will all episode. She was talking about the Church of England, and we brought that up on our last episode of 2011. And so I thought that was interesting that, like, we got her insight because she lives in the UK. And it's pretty cool.
Pretty cool just for us Americans.
Yes. It's kind of nice to see, like, the different, what she has different religiously than what we have here. Was that basically what you just said?
All right. I don't know. Whatever.
Private. We have religious private schools all over.
Yeah. But did she mean that was, like, a public school?
No, primary school is, like, elementary school.
No, I know, but, like, is she talking about she was trying to get into, like, a private school or a public school?
No,
let's scroll up. She had to go to church to get into her primary school.
To go to church on Sunday every to get
well,
into
that
her primary school.
That doesn't
it doesn't say if it's
it could be
private
it could
or,
be a religious.
I don't like feel like school. That would be a public school.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Especially since
really
England
different.
Is a lot more liberal than us.
Yeah.
So
the next is actually from our forums. This person sent it in. So if Mariah, you wanted to take that?
That I said, I love the books because they, in a sense, terrify me. I listened to an interview with Collins when she talks about how the idea came to her for the series. As she explained how her reality was skewed by her being tired and the two shows ran together, I really seemed to grasp the place she came from when writing this. As an avid Big Brother fan, I just kept thinking how eerie and ironic the whole thing was. Here I sit every summer watching 12 strangers move into a house and compete to become the last player standing. Sound familiar? How is it really such a big stretch to think that this could happen if certain things fall into place? Every week people tune into their TV to watch stars dancing, teens as mothers, people raised around the world, and too many others. Americans eat up reality TV. I enjoy this show. Thanks for all your hard work, Emily.
I read that kind of slow. Sorry about that.
No, but, like, that is so true, though.
Yeah.
Like, but
what's wrong with reality TV, you guys?
But, like, personally,
it's disgusting.
Yeah,
TV,
but
just, like, we all watch it, but it's disgusting.
It really is.
And we watch it for our amusement, even though it can be emotionally degrading for the person.
Cough, Jersey Shore.
No, it's... I mean, like, if personally, like, for example, like, the teen mothers.
Yeah.
Like, you know how...
They almost glorify it, though. Like, girls are like, I want to be like them. Like,
I don't think
yeah.
so.
They can
I
be
mean,
called
to a
all
extent.
Different names because of their teen mothers. Like,
I
it's
feel...
so stereotyped and destroys their self-esteem.
I feel like I kind of like this. Obviously, tons of stuff on that is staged. But it's...
Yeah.
Because it's, I think, so much more realistic than normal TV, I don't know. You can sympathize with these people, you know? It kind of allows you to...
No.
What?
No, I don't sympathize with that. I feel like it's more. Yes, the TV shows like Toddlers in Tiaras and Dance
oh, well,
Moms, which are okay. Anyways, but that's so reality TV. It still falls under the category,
yeah.
Even though it is disgusting. I feel like it's more disgusting to see that like millions of people are watching this, like as a reflection. It's like if you don't like the TV show, like I don't like TV shows like that, so I don't watch them. Like I feel like the moms are annoying. Whether they're teen moms or dance moms or whatever kind of moms are out
all
there.
Moms.
All no, not my mom's great, but these reality TV show characters, because they really are characters because they're scripted so much, but like if you don't like it and if you don't approve of it, don't watch it. Like that's if you don't like what's going on, because you're only supporting it when you watch it, so
yeah.
I don't watch them most times. Unless, like,
you
I don't
slip
know.
Once in a while.
Yes, I slip once in a while.
It's kind of like a lose-lose, too, because the people on these shows are being so degraded, and, like, they're going to go down in history as...
But then also things are getting paid for to be on
yeah.
show.
Yeah,
so
and
it's like,
by you
like,
watching it, you're basically, like,
it all comes
like,
back to
their
profit.
Paycheck.
Like, it's all money.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, the only reason why they did it was because of profit.
So, if you don't like reality TV stars that are vapid and...
Nice!
Just, John Green said it. Vapid and other things, if you don't like people like that, don't support them and
that's
don't watch
That's my biggest
it.
Problem with reality TV, because, like, think of, like, Snooki. Okay?
Yeah.
No one has any respect for her, and so, like, I mean, I'm sure there's much more to Snooki. I mean, I'm sure she's been through her times.
Yeah.
But no one is ever going to see her like that just because of her show.
But now, seeing that I feel like she's getting, like, positive reinforcements. Like, hey, I get millions and millions of dollars if I act like a complete idiot and talk about the stupidest things and am really superficial. So, yeah, there might have been something under there, and she might have been like, oh, I want to read a book today, but that's totally lost because people say, oh, no, we really like this character when you're all tan and you like all these, like, really buffed up men.
GTF.
We like that. So, like...
I see what you mean.
I get right. passionate about this.
Let's see, many hours thinking about this.
Yeah. All right, Matt, you want to take the next email?
I can't pronounce the name.
I know. I emailed her, asked her for
what'd she say it was?
She didn't email me back yet. So.
Well, aren't Z's often pronounced like Z's? X's are pronounced like Z's in names a lot of times. Like sure. Xavier, like...
True.
Okay,
we'll just read the email and spell her name.
All right. Hi, I just started listening to your podcast a couple of weeks ago, and so far I love it. A couple of episodes ago, I heard you mention Hamish's name. H. A lot of people think that he's in his 50s or 60s, but actually he's only 40 in the first book. In Catching Fire, they mention that Haymitch was around 16 when he was chosen for the second Quarter Quell, and the first book takes place in the 74th Hunger Games. Just thought I'd mention it. Love your show. P.S. You have lots of fans in Hawaii. I live there, so I know.
Oh my god,
that's
Hawaii!
So cool.
That's so awesome.
Maybe we should come and visit.
Wow.
who's that email by, Matt, there?
Aranza? I'm really good at pronouncing names, but I really can't pronounce
that. Sorry if we garble it.
Wait, Aranza? Maybe?
Google Translate.
No,
it's not.
You can't translate from that.
You can do English.
Shut up,
English.
Matt.
Oh, God.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you for sending in that email. It's,
people think that Haymitch is so much older is because he's been so aged by, like, all he's been through, and he has such a drinking problem, so he probably...
Yeah, his mental age is a lot more than his physical age.
He looks and acts and probably thinks a lot older than his years.
That's, like, what happens to smokers, like, if they, after smoking for years on end, they just, like, look aged and, like, worn out, so I think that's, like, Haymitch.
Because the first one, Woody Harrelson was cast, so I was like, alright, his age is, like, okay for it, you know, because he's had a long career and everything.
They're gonna have to really work to make him look as banged up.
I don't like his long blonde
hair. Yeah, like, you can see the poster in my... Oh, it's not up there.
He's
on the other side. He has that luscious hair that just doesn't make sense. But, I always thought of him.
I mean, come on, guys need to understand that they're not going to follow it exactly like that.
I know.
Because everyone has different pictures of the characters, so it's like...
Yeah. Characters are alright, but they better stay true to
the plot. They're going to stay true to the plot and everything, but it's like, it's how the director and maybe that's how Suzanne Collins actually portrayed him.
I hope she's, like, strict about it. Like,
she better be.
I mean, she's writing most of the scripts, so it should be pretty good.
Like, what author do you know? Where they changed the whole last movie?
Okay, jumping into another segment and cutting Diane off, the theme of the episode. So this is Pan and Post, and this is news brought to you by the Hunger Games fan sites, HungerGamesMovie.org and HGGirlOnFire.com, where you can get up-to-date news coverage about the fandom, especially the upcoming film. So our first news story, it's either pathetic or... No, it's just pathetic. Lionsgate has produced, or they're in the process of producing trading cards, water bottles, and nail polish.
Too much.
Too much.
I don't feel like the people who are really into the Hunger Games are going to want that type of stuff released. Like, they're not going
to
buy it.
Yeah. That goes back to the reality TV show thing. If you don't like it, if you don't support it, don't buy it.
Yeah.
Don't
then again, buy it. All for money. All for money.
Yeah.
Right,
I mean,
obviously they're going to make so much money from the movie, but still, it's like...
But merchandise, like, you look at other fandoms, most of their money is made through the merchandise.
But...
It's like buying your movie ticket is not that much.
Like with Harry Potter, I'm gonna mention Harry Potter again. Like the stuff that they have, like wands, capes, that's like directly related.
Right.
It's like nail polish, like
okay, water bottle.
It would make sense if they have like.
It's just like taking a normal thing and putting the word the Hunger.
No,
they
have a water bottle and they have the Hunger Games logo on it. That's it. They just
not
paste
anything.
It. They literally
you
just
do that
paste
yourself
it
with
thing.
A Sharpie. Like,
I mean, it makes sense if they had like Mockingjay merchandise or like Finnick O'Dare's. Like Trident or something like that.
Right. Oh my gosh, I want one of those.
No allusions to other books.
No,
jeez, people play a character.
Hey, no one knows. Who
he didn't say anything about it.
No, as long as it's general stuff.
So. All right,
it just reminds me of Shrek produced like nail polish, like Shrek nail polish, and that's once they went way downhill.
I feel like Capital. I guess it's close here. Like I feel,
and it's called Colors from the Capital, and it has Effie Trinket as the kind of poster girl for it. And the posters are pretty cool, I gotta say. And I'm not a girly girl, and they seem
definitely
interesting.
Well,
but
I'm sorry, Kira.
I thought the trading cards were interesting though, because you could add to your collection. You know, like some people might do.
The line needs to be drawn somewhere. I'm just going to say that.
I know. I'm not going
to
buy the water bottle.
Mom, right? Just go to Lions Game. So listen, bud. You can't do this.
Yeah, you can't do this.
So overall...
Come on, get out of here.
So guys, overall, do we think this is positive or negative?
Negative.
All right.
Over the line.
Although I might buy some polish.
No! Bad Diana!
No, it's okay. I have enough already.
Go in the corner. Alright, so our next news story is, there are a lot of new images, including a new poster.
Ooh.
And that was in celebration of 100 days until the games began. Part of this was fans had to literally piece together 100, like, online pieces of the poster.
I think, like, Will was talking about it. I think what they had to do...
From HungerGamesMovie.org.
I was just going to say that. I think it was, like, they had to look through the website and find the puzzle pieces, maybe?
Right, correct.
It was that, and they had to send them in and, like...
They just had to click them,
and then it would, like, attach...
I think so, yeah.
I think because everyone had their own individual poster. And then eventually, like, when Will found it out, like... You know what's
then
like,
you
it's,
post
okay.
it on your home.
You know, like
site.
In Pottermore, you had to find the magic quill and everything.
Yes.
It was,
okay.
It's probably
no more of, Harry Potter references.
I'm sorry.
I think
probably,
we've gone like
it was probably like that.
Wow, Kara's saying that.
I know.
So
intense.
That's actually kind of really cool.
So what do you guys think? Like, first of all, how do you think? No, not how do
well,
you.
What's on the new poster?
This is the poster.
Oh, whoa, that's awesome.
I think it's cool, but then it's a little, like, bittersweet because I didn't, like, that's not how my world was
yeah.
in my head. But, like, I'm not mad at anyone. It's just, like,
but it's
I mean,
epic,
it's the movie
okay.
angle.
Yeah.
It's got to be all Hollywood. But, I mean, what do you guys think about having Lionsgate having fans, like, find all the pieces online? Do you think
it's
that was, like,
cool.
a good strategy or?
Yeah.
I like it.
I think it made it kind of interactive.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
get
yeah.
the fans involved.
Twilight never had anything like that.
Yeah.
So, damn.
Dang. We're already getting ahead of Twilight.
Woo-hoo.
So what do you think about the poster overall? I mean,
I love it.
The one with yeah.
this one, yeah,
the one right
kind of out of
the
I don't know if I was supposed to describe
yeah.
it for the listeners, but never mind.
Like,
well, yeah, I mean, it has
like,
the
look at the facial expressions, like what Diana just brought up about PETA.
And we have the Mockingjay symbol on fire above Katniss's head.
Oh,
she's
and above,
kind of
and above that, it says the world will be watching.
Yes, that's another tagline. Obviously, we have, may the odds be ever in your favor. Now
I
we have the world
I think it's just really cool. If you guys have signed up through the capital.pn, you will get receive emails from President Snow referring to, like, the 74th Hunger Games and, like, talking about Katniss every day. And so it's, like, if you kind of feels like you're placed in...
Yeah,
like,
it has that feel that you're in
fandom, which is, like, really cool because I've never experienced any fandom that's done that, ever. It's just...
Yeah, I'm part of District
9. I love it.
9.
Yeah, 9.
District 1.
The but, other picture, can you go back?
Yeah, I'm going to go to the other ones.
So
yeah.
the other picture was of Katniss and PETA, and that was released, they're, like, in the training center.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
And, so we see PETA looking kind of scared.
And out of it again.
And Katniss kind of just looking at him like, you're a beautiful boy.
Interpretive.
Yeah. Okay, someone should put, like, little bubbles of, like, what they're thinking.
I bet someone has.
Someone definitely yeah. has.
I don't like his tracksuit.
I like them.
Her face they're... is so soft.
I just don't
she
like
doesn't
that.
Mean cat
her face is a little too full for being sorry.
She doesn't look like a cat. I'm sorry.
Her name
like,
is
cat,
Katniss.
Cat.
No.
Doesn't, like,
she doesn't look like a cat at all, actually.
Yeah, no.
I'm sorry. That's just my opinion.
I apologize for your
opinion. No, but what do you guys think about the actual, like, as Mariah said, tracksuits?
I think they look pretty good.
Okay.
I mean, it's not going to be a big deal.
Yeah.
Like,
I just don't know. We analyze everything
I like
here.
The boots.
See, we only have a couple
yes,
pictures, so we kind of have to like latch on to whatever.
I like myself
we
a good boot. Okay, boots look good on him. Just saying.
Okay, and there was one more picture.
Yeah.
Also released. We have a lot of news since we didn't do news last time. So this one is from. What was his name at? Russ Bowen?
Russ Bowen.
Right, that's his name. So he released some pictures of what he thinks is going to be Katniss's house or, like, any houses in
Could
the scene.
Could be Gale's house.
Yeah, like, any... He says that they all look the same, whatever. So we can assume that this is what her house is going to look like. There's no guarantees here because it's not from Lionsgate. It's definitely run down, and I didn't imagine them there being paint on the walls.
I don't really
It's
really
kind of... It's too,
like
happy...
It looks like it at one point was like a good house and then it's just been like abandoned for 30 years, which doesn't really make sense.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't picture floors. I thought dirt floors.
Like a shack, like with dirt floors, like.
I felt like one
with
room.
One bed.
Like, I didn't think this was, because it kind of makes it seem
like
two rooms. I thought it was one room, like
very
there's
small.
A mattress.
Like maybe
and,
half
like, a couch
of like my room right here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like I pictured really small.
Pictured,
yeah.
Like,
no, maybe like this whole room.
Two rooms. Like maybe this size, but like
cut. Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it described it, I might be totally wrong, in the book as, like, not dirty or, like, run down, but just, like, worn in.
Yeah.
And it definitely does not read.
This picture dark. Yeah.
I don't think this type of theme fits. If we go back to the trail and we see Katniss in District 12, like, how it's all wooded, I don't feel like this actually fits.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, this could not be it. Like, I don't
yeah, this
I hope
could
it's
not,
not
even be it. But
I mean,
then also saying, like, maybe the way they do camera angles and stuff like that, they'll make it look like it should be, you know? Like, maybe they'll only focus on one room or something right. like that.
Maybe this is it before they, like, fix it up and got it all
That's moved. True. Yeah. It could be. Yeah. So, I mean, there's no guarantees here again, so.
Well, I think they're just taking a rundown we'll house see, and trash we'll it, see, we'll which see. Would be a nice, fun thing to do.
Right. So, we talked about 2 episodes ago with Diana, the movie tie-in books, and I know I asked you guys about if Suzanne Collins wrote this, and if she didn't, then I don't want them, basically. straightforward. So I found out that she doesn't have her name as an author, so that's not a good sign. And again, there's one that's the illustrated guide, and basically that's just going to be like pictures of like the sets and like.
Well, that's fine. I mean, you can't
so that's really, fine. Yeah. There's no new information. It's yeah. just visuals. That's fine. I already pre-ordered it. My brother got that for me.
Oh my gosh.
So that's coming in February.
It's okay.
Yeah. So, but the tribute guide. That's the one where you get more background information on Foxface, Kato, Clove.
Matt. But if it's not written by her, then
yeah, I mean they could have. I mean they could have interviewed her and then gotten the information and wrote it.
But if it's not in
the secret love,
Kato. Oh my gosh,
they I thought are... you were saying Matt was one of the tributes.
No, I was like Kato Clove, and then she goes Matt. Oh yeah, because like, they're.
you
like,
thought she was. The
I was like Matt's not a tribute. What?
Yeah, from District like 14.
I appreciated it.
I didn't get it.
Like, there is no
point. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know,
I'll
but
keep it moving. A really bad joke. So, do you guys think there'll be any new information in these books? Or is it going to be stuff we already know?
Stuff we already know?
Yeah.
I don't bother
with it. But how can they write a whole book about stuff we already know?
I don't like that. Books are supposed to be open to interpretation. I don't it when people just...
I hate movie tie-in books in general, because then it's, like, taking all the, like, characters and replacing them. Like, you know how they, make new covers for books that
have been like the movie covers.
I don't like that. I just want
the new covers for the Hunger Games are pretty awesome.
It's just the Flaming Mockingjay. There's no actors. So cool. There's no Jennifer Lawrence. Yeah. There will be. How much you want to bet? But like, as you know, as of now, it's okay.
Yeah.
So all right. Well, that's about all the news. Those are the big news stories.
I mean, it's like we can't. This isn't. You can't picture like a perfect fandom where everything is the way you picture it. I mean,
oh yeah, if it was a perfect fandom, this podcast wouldn't exist. We couldn't critique anything.
You have to consider like the marketing and like. All the money aspects and everything, because you always are going to spend a lot of money on making a movie. So how do you think they're actually going to like regain the money that they spent on it? Obviously through marketing, advertising, and getting people to actually buy the things.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we can't have the perfect fandom. It's not possible.
Okay. Well, then on that great note. okay. So this is Through the Eyes of Katniss Everdeen, and this is our main segment analyzing the books by chapters. Last episode, we just discussed one chapter, which was very odd for us. That was chapter 18. So today, we'll continue with chapters 19 and 20. So now we're on part 3, The Victor. And we have been keeping track kind of like what part we're on. So that's just kind of a side note. So I think that begins chapter 19, is Victor 3? Yes, it does.
Take it away, Kira.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. So chapter 19, my favorite chapter.
Really? Nothing happens. Chapter 20 is where it's at.
Nothing happens in chapter 20.
What? Everything happens.
Okay, opinion-based. Moving on.
All right, so we left off chapter 18 with Katniss finding out that you can have 2 Victors as long as they're from the same district. So that is a complete game changer. And so...
Yeah, that was my pun.
So as soon as she finds out, Peeta's name escapes her lips and her hand flies over her mouth. Then there's a quote, I wait frozen for the woods to come alive with
assailants.
So I thought this was interesting, just how she kind of illustrates this, and that she still thinks that people are going to attack her, that she's like, people will not think of her as like really strong and like hard.
I don't think it's that so much as she's just always been... Very defensive. That's how she's learned to survive.
It's true. That is her way of doing things.
Come on, Kira. You should know that.
So, another quote is, Peeta, as it turns out, has never been a danger to me.
But she should have figured out by now.
Yeah, because she's finally piecing together that, like, everything that Peeta's done and that Peeta actually does care about her. It's not just
for her.
And these next 2 chapters are so frustrating when he's like obviously in love with her and she doesn't figure it out.
And I'm in the dark as well. Yeah.
Because her mind is so clouded with thoughts of Gale.
Well, the audience can't see this, but I made a page-long list of every time in these two chapters when it's obvious that Fida loves her and she loves Fida.
Well, you can chime in then.
So.
She does anyway. So
I know.
I will chime in.
I'm trying to limit
Actually, I can't because there's at least 25 examples here.
Okay. So Katniss recaps the tributes left and their game strategies. So we have Foxface, who's, quote, operating alone. Thresh, who is, quote, a distinct threat. And Kato and Clove, which are the only pairs left that can work together.
Pair?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The like tributes.
Partners.
Tributes.
Singles. No, sorry. You said pairs. No,
the tributes.
I'm one of those annoying people who corrects grammar all the time.
Oh, okay. Well, pairs, like, there's Kato and Clove, and there's Pete and Katniss.
Two pairs.
There's very has to have
I got you, Kira.
I told you I'm in a good mood today.
Kato and Clove have the night vision glasses, and they are described as having heavy branch-breaking bodies. I think referring back to, like, when she was in the tree, and they were trying to, like, scale
nice
up a
nice alliteration going on.
Yeah. My favorite. So, who do you see as an outsider reading the book? Who do you see as a bigger threat, Kato or Thresh?
Kato.
Kato!
Definitely not. Kato. Well, I think from Katniss's perspective...
Air five.
From Katniss's perspective in the book, she knows a lot more about Kato than Thresh, so because Thresh is such an unknown, and she's seen him before, like, she knows he's pretty heavy, and he has this, like, serious formal face. So I think she would have been more concerned about him since she doesn't know as much about him or where he is or anything about him at all. You know?
Oh, right, because that thing with... She can't compensate you know how, for him. Doesn't he, like, spare her life? That hasn't happened yet.
Right. Hasn't happened yet.
Okay, so...
I think that's chapter 21, I want
to
say.
That's a
yes,
great
that's
chapter.
When she goes to get... No, we'll talk about that
yeah.
later.
But, yeah, like, personally, I think that, like, Kato is a bigger threat just because he made it to the end. Like, Thresh didn't make it to the end. Like,
well,
just on that fact alone.
We know that Kato's a bigger threat, but, like, I think Katniss would have been more concerned about Thresh. Yeah. She knows Kato's weaknesses. She knows that he has a huge temper that she can use against him.
True.
She knows that he likes Clove, so...
She instructs herself to get some shut-eye before finding her lover in the morning.
Did you write that yourself? Okay.
Yes, I did.
Obviously.
I spent a long time doing this. So, quote, I try to think of anything Pete ever said that might give me an indication as to where he's hiding out, but nothing rings a bell. So, this is kind of reflecting back to the quote that, what was this from, Matt? You would know.
What chapter? Or
yeah.
Like...
Is that when they're in the game?
No, this is like...
This is way after.
This is way after.
Okay, so this kind of reflects to the quote later on in the book.
This is my favorite quote in the entire book.
All right, so why don't you read it, Matt?
No, it's okay. You can go. All
right. Quote, I remember everything about you. It was you who wasn't paying attention. So...
Okay, Matt. That is from...
So, do you think Kia would be able to get in... Like, if they're... roles were reversed, and Peeta had to find Katniss, then do you think that he would be able to?
Yes.
I think
yes.
Peeta understands Katniss pretty well.
More than Katniss
Definitely.
Yeah, I
At
agree
this
with
point.
That.
Because he always knows when she's lying. He understands a lot about her.
Yeah.
Actually,
I mean, she was the one that wasn't paying attention
later
at all,
on in
so.
The... Oh. Well, later on in the chapter when Peeta, like, she finds him, I kind of almost felt that he, like, left those bloodstains, like, as a way to help her find him.
I never thought of that. But he was so delirious doing it.
Oh,
we don't know how old they were, though.
That's true. He could have, like...
He could have done it after
the He could have, like, taken his hand, like...
I definitely assumed that he left them, like, on purpose. I don't know why.
Peeta's always got a plan. So.
But I definitely thought that he, like... Peeta was, like, dragging
I mean, obviously, he's not... He's obviously not as athletic as Katniss, but he thinks things more. Like,
well,
you know,
I don't
more
think athletic.
She, I mean, like, he's...
really the word.
Yeah.
He's
not,
know
like,
Katniss
as sly as she is.
Yeah.
Do you remember them walking in the woods? Katniss gets upset with him because his footsteps are much louder.
Yeah. So when Katniss finds the trail of blood that we're talking about, she whispers Peeta's name kind of softly, but then Mockingjay begins to kind of like say it out loud, kind of like alerting. So, so do you think that, as Diana brings up, like symbolism is the Mockingjay? Do you think that that's kind of like showing that like there's hope and like freedom near or something? I don't know, like.
I was thinking more like, I don't know if this makes any sense, like, it's reflecting the bond between Peeta and Katniss and how that relates, okay, maybe not.
Maybe not.
Maybe not. You're probably right. Freedom. Let's just
Yeah, just, I think it's showing that, like, he's near, because before she didn't really see Mockingjays when she talked, I mean, she saw him, but, like, she wasn't interacting with them as much, so, like, when they start to, like, help her out, you know what I mean, like. there's kind of more hope there.
I was going to say, it might be a foreshadow of the third book, but I can't talk about foreshadows in the third book.
Right. You can just mention it and people can figure it out themselves. But
well, I don't know. Maybe, like, her drawing... The Mockingjay drawing strength from a calling out to Peeta might be a foreshadow of the third book.
She hears someone, his voice, and she's like, oh, is that Peeta? So she walks, she's kind of walking around.
When
and
does
then
she hear a voice?
He says something, and then she's like, where are you?
Oh,
and
that was
she's
the, like, looking around. Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so and then, so he said, you here to finish me off, sweetheart?
That's just so... weird. I feel like his personality in this chapter is complete.
It's, no, he's
it's
really,
a little like Haymitch. Arrogant.
He was mimicking Haymitch, probably.
I know, but throughout, like, not just then. Once you, like, start hearing their dialogue, it's completely different from any way they've talked before. Like, before the games.
But, I mean, they're somewhat acting. I mean, Peeta's not really,
I
but
mean,
Katniss
perhaps
is.
It's, like, half acting. Perhaps it's, like, him.
I mean, they have to put on a show.
Her, or, I don't know. Or maybe he's thinking that his love for Katniss is finally, he's able to express it now that they're...
Yeah. So it's just, it's all out there.
It's all hanging out.
Doesn't have to hide anything anymore. So Peeta, as you guys know, has disguised
himself in the mud of the bank.
Thank you, Maya. and I think that this is Katniss kind of thinking in her head. She says, quote, I guess all those hours decorating cakes paid off.
I think she said that out loud.
Did she say that out loud?
Yeah.
Oh, she did say that out loud. You're right.
This is your chapter.
I know, this is my chapter.
I love the cute little volley that goes back and forth between them, like their little dialogue thing.
It's coming up. Oh, like right now? Like,
well, like just throughout. Like, you get to see a different side of Katniss that she actually has a sense of humor. Like, he brings it out there. So
yeah.
I think that's a good thing.
That's cute. That's a good point, too.
So she rolls him to the edge of the water to clean him off and tend to his leg wounds, which she doesn't realize how bad they are at this point. But when applying some burn cream to his chest, she knows how hot his body is, meaning, like, fever, not
temperature. I think there's some double meaning there.
A little bit. Especially with Joss Hutcherson playing Peeta. But,
Kira, come on.
So she treats him with some meds from District 1 boy bag. The
boy bag.
Marvel.
Boy bag.
Marvel.
Yeah, Marvel. Which we don't know his name at this point. But so once Katniss offers him some food and he turns it down, she then knows how sick he really is. His health, not, you know, his mind. So, Peeta's leg is described as, quote, the deep inflamed gash oozing both blood and pus. Smell of festering flesh. Yes.
Ooh,
that's quite disgusting.
Alliteration.
Yeah.
I feel so bad.
I mean, and that's just really, like, intense.
This really heightens the tension when you think,
like,
is Peeta gonna die? Like, this was a really intense chapter.
And even, like, for the movie, how are they not gonna have
it's
this
gonna
be
gross.
Too... Yeah, and going back to I don't know what chapter,
how are they
but...
Are they going to give this a PG-13 rating?
They have to. Yeah.
They have to, yeah.
I think they've already kind of put that out there. I mean, it hasn't gotten
it's, like,
impossible yet,
not
but,
to.
Yeah, you can't have it R. As much as we want it to
no,
be
it can't be R. Like, usually R is just with the language.
I love R.
I was thinking PG, but they couldn't pull off PG.
No, they couldn't pull off PG. And plus, they would lose more of an audience. If something's PG-13, people
die. People
are going
to pull off PG.
People die in PG movies.
No, like, this is, like, a really
Pocahontas.
Even more than this, I feel like...
Oh, that's G, I think, actually. Never mind. Hold on.
All right, forget it. We're just going to move on. Never mind.
So, Katniss is immediately reminded of when her mother used to bring patients into the house, and she couldn't stand it, and she would run away into the woods or whatever she does. But Prim and her mother could stay and take care of it, and I think that that really shows that Katniss is not as strong as everyone sees her, that she does have weaknesses such as dealing with, like, medical things. That
it's not so much medical things. It's just I don't think she can deal with her reactions to things.
And dealing with humans, like, almost their emotions. She's not good with with humans.
She's not good with dealing to her own emotional reactions to things. So I think if she sees someone dying, she just freaks out.
Like, even mentioning, like, she's thinking about, like, I'm going to have to strip him down. He's going to have to be naked in front of me. And, like, she's more obsessed with that than he's dying, which is
kind of
weird.
Well, I think she's really concerned about
it. I know, but, like, you wouldn't be concerned about that if...
Yeah, but I think it's easier to think about...
Anyone would be.
I think it's easier to think about, like,
especially if it's
not the big things. Like, you know, I don't know, I sound like...
Distracting yourself?
Yeah, kind of. Like, it's easier to think about, oh, I'm going to have to change him, instead of being like, oh, Peeta's going to die. Like, it would be
easier
to think about something.
Kind of more denial, get your brain off of it and everything. So, what do you think is the significance of nakedness having no effect on her mother and Prim? Like, what is the show of their character?
Well,
especially her mother is, like, a natural and motherly figure. Like, obviously, if you're a parent, you're always going to see your kid naked, so you get kind of accustomed to that.
Mm-hmm.
So, she, and also she's like, she's more concerned about healing the person than on, like, how awkward it'd be to see them naked. So it's, it doesn't really have an effect on how about that.
It's more professional with her. It's like, yes, this has to be done.
Prim is more like, I don't know, Prim is just, I don't want to say she's emotionally strong because she is, though, but it's just her character, like, how she's innocent, that doesn't really affect her. She doesn't really think about it.
Like, Rue.
It just matters, like, she naturally just does things without really...
It really makes the characters more three-dimensional. I think that's what you're touching on. But, like, yeah, like, you... It just through that one passage, you see a weakness of Katniss's and the strengths of Prim's, where the roles are always reversed, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that also kind of shows that how related Prim is to her sister. Mm-hmm. Like, how you can see that connection...
Okay. Well, another quote is, killing things is much easier than this, although for all I know, I'm killing you. And, I don't know, I just thought this kind of, like, was important.
Katniss.
Oh, who do you think? Guys.
This is while she's trying to take care of PETA, and, like, she's using the water bottles and rotating them to clean them off of all the mud and whatever he created for himself there.
Mm.
But, so after some remedies, Katniss wraps PETA's leg, and she asks him to cover up and, gives him his boxers back. Or no, she takes his boxers so she can wash them. So then PETA says, you know, you're kind of squeamish for such a lethal person.
I love PETA. I'm sorry.
So Haymitch comes up during their discussion, and PETA tells her he doesn't like her because, quote, you're just alike. Meaning, like, Haymitch and Katniss have a lot in common that PETA can see being outside of their relationship.
They're both, like, survivors.
Yeah.
Superficially, I think they're very different, but I think underneath it all, he's right. They are very
similar. And I think that, like, after the games, kind of when she goes home, she's able to kind of, like... I mean, if he was more sober, I think that they'd be able to kind of, like, help each other through their, like, memories and problems. More than, like...
Well, that's another way...
Katniss's mom helping, like, her.
Obviously, Haymitch has taken up drinking because he has so much to cope with. But, like, how does Katniss cope with her emotions? Like, does she? I think she just, like...
Hunting.
She just, like, ignores them, I think.
Bottles them up, and then they eventually will.
She first overanalyzes them, like, why she's feeling that way, and then she just drops it.
She kind of, like, represses them almost.
Because then, like, something else happens that changes her complete thought process. Like, she doesn't really have time to sit and think about why she's feeling this way or anything like that. Because, you know, sometimes she goes on complete tangents about for a page on questions about certain things, like why this is happening, like how this is affecting her life, and what about her family, and what about Gale.
And she's always thinking practically.
Like, she always thinks about that, and then someone says something, and that changes her whole thoughts. So it's like she doesn't really get that opportunity to analyze why what she's thinking, why she feels it.
She doesn't really think about it. I feel like she's always had to think so practically that she just... ignores completely the emotional side of what she's thinking, you know?
Yeah. Well, after PETA has a quick nap, she moves... she moves camp as far downstream as PETA can make, so she's kind of moving all their stuff and trying to get them into more of a kind of closed territory. And so after finding a cave and settling down, Katniss has the feeling, quote, suddenly out of nowhere, I'm scared he's gonna die.
Aww.
And I think, like, she's done everything she can, so now she's like, what else can I do? So it's kind of finally, like, what am I gonna do?
She's got, like, nothing else to think about now,
too. Finally, her emotions are crashing down on her because she has no way to cope.
Exactly. And then Katniss experiences her first kiss.
Ooh.
Shut PETA up about dying.
But I think when she kissed him, she, I think in the book it said that the only thing she mentioned that she probably should have been focused on, oh, this is my first kiss, but all she could think about was how hot his lips were. So even then, it focuses on how she's thinking of him and not herself, which shows that she loves him. Because I think she does.
Thank you for your insight.
Carol, what you do when Diana talks that you can't really say anything to rebut it.
I know, so I just so insightful. So
you just, all right, next thing. Like, you don't really, okay.
Well, do you think that Katniss loves PETA in this book? Like,
please say yes.
It's a budding romance. It's not like total It has to work well, off. You can't like just love is. Someone. It's just, it has to, like, happen. Just...
I feel like in Katniss's situation, she can't just love someone because love and trust isn't easy for her, especially, like, growing up the way right. she is. She's yeah. always threatened by everything. So trust well, isn't easy. So I think she has to build up trust first. And then, so yeah, I think it's like a budding romance, especially at the end of the book when you're left with so much confusion on what's going to happen next with them.
My gosh, the end of this book.
So it's really frustrating for me, at least.
Yeah, but, like,
well, even if she did just love someone like that, like, it's going to take a long time for that to actually strengthen or for her yeah. to realize that.
But, like, she loved her father. He died. She possibly loves Peter right now, but she sees that he's going to die. At this point, there's no way he's going to survive with the, with the stuff that they have right now. Yeah. Like, there's no possible way.
And even with her mother.
So she doesn't want to love him. She's trying to, like, repress mm-hmm. those feelings, not fall in love with him because she knows he's going to die.
Yeah. Which, if she does Which fall in practical. Love with him, it'll make it harder for when he's gone.
Yeah.
So it's like she's trying to, like, close off for herself and try not to feel any emotion so that way she can just, when he dies, she can just sort of brush it off. Like, she, yeah. okay, when Rue died, she didn't necessarily love Rue, but she was, like, very...
She loved
she,
Rue.
Okay, she did love Rue. She never really openly expressed it.
There were
it.
Feelings there.
But, like, she... Kira, can you just be serious?
Kira's nothing but serious.
Yeah, really.
So, it's just, like, she... Everything she thinks about, she thinks of Rue with the birds and everything because of, like, she was so close with her. She doesn't want to feel that same way with Peeta.
Yeah.
Like, to be honest, I think Peeta means a lot more to her.
Well,
she's
definitely opening up in this chapter with Peeta. Like, we get to see so many different sides of her that we have never seen before. Like, yeah. we get to see she can be cute, she can be joking, like, she can be lighthearted. Like, we've never seen these things.
I mm-hmm. think, like, part of it is the acting and part of it's real. Like, there's emotion yeah. behind it, but, like, she just keeps telling herself that it's her acting.
I think the same thing for Peeta, too.
Right. Oh. And also, like, she's kind of, like, putting this on to, like, make Peeta seem like, oh, everything's okay. Like, nothing's wrong. Like, if you're with a child and something's going wrong, you don't want to, like, look like you're really scared.
Yeah, you have to had a lot of experience with Prim.
Yeah. So, that's kind of, like, she's kind of using those same skills with him right now.
Although he can totally see through it.
Right. Mm-hmm. But she's trying. Whatever.
You have to give her some props.
Yeah. A little bit. I mean, she has done a lot. Oh, Haymitch rewards her with, you know, being romantic with Peeta with Hot Broth. So...
Hot broth. Oh, dang.
So in order to kind of keep getting rewards, she kisses Peeta again, this time, like, awake, because, like, he took a nap. I don't know if you guys remember that. So Katniss tries to remember how her mother and father acted together so she could play the role of this star-crossed lovers. And so I thought that was kind of important. She's thinking about how to act so that it seems like it's real when she could, with your opinion on her loving Peeta, she could just be herself, but that's never an option for Katniss. She's always got to be someone else.
Mm-hmm. Especially since she's always hiding from the peacemakers and everything. She always has to yeah. put on this.
I mean, when do we see her just be herself?
Never. I don't think she even knows
Gale,
how to be herself.
When she's with Gale.
When she's with Gale.
Which but is we only get like a snippet of that in the yeah. beginning.
And even then, she doesn't want Gale thinking like she likes him. So we know even there, are. There's barriers, you know? So...
Chapter 19. That was painful.
That was painful.
And well, I mean, Haymitch sending her the pot of broth, that again shows how similar they are. Like, that yeah. he even knows that she'll understand that.
Yeah. Like, their communication is just quite nice.
They think the same way.
Yeah. So, take it away, Matt, with chapter 20 here.
Alright. Chapter 20, I think, sort of the beginning is a lot of filler things that are happening. It's sort of like they're eating and they're sleeping and they're just trying to get through the days, and so...
Boring.
Well, that's only there to show the I mean, it's emotional progression, you know?
Right, true. And so it's
build
like...
Build it up.
Going on the emotions, like, referring to what Katniss is saying, she gives in, and she goes and she crawls in the sleeping bag with Peeta, and she says, "It's toasty warm, and I snuggle down gratefully until I realize it's more than warm. It's overly hot because the bag is reflecting back his fever." So, obviously, he's getting more progressively worse, and I don't think Katniss realizes what she can do to actually help him. I mean, she can keep feeding him, giving him water, and trying to cool down his temperature, but...
Yeah.
Well, are you really supposed to try to keep people with fevers, like, under blankets?
Yeah, you're supposed to have them, sorry. You're supposed to have them sweat, like, so that they can kind of, like, get rid of the fever.
Yeah, she, like, made an allusion to that in the book.
Let it break.
And, this is a little bit of... Peeta's, not humor, but it was like, "You're saying you're worried about me? Have you taken a look at yourself lately?"
No, Katniss said that.
She said that? Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, Matt. Come on. fun. All right.
Hey, we all make mistakes. She makes a reference to what her father used to do when she's saying, I reach out to touch his cheek and he catches my hand and presses it against his lips. I remember my father doing this very thing to my mother, and I wonder where Peeta picked it up. Surely not from his father and the witch.
Does it really say that?
From his father and the witch? Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, goodness.
Well, she's a...
Oh, goodness.
Okay.
I can't say any swears, so that's my filler.
Oh, goodness.
We should make up our own Hunger Games swear.
We should.
Let's do it.
So then this is one of the scenes where Katniss realizes that something is severely wrong with Peeta. She says that there's no more pus in evidence, but the swelling has increased, and the tight, shiny skin is inflamed. I see there are red streaks starting to crawl up his leg. Blood poisoning. Did I say that right?
Blood poisoning.
Unchecked, it will kill him for sure.
Oh, no.
So this is, like, again, going on to what we were saying about how this is one of the scenes that gets you if we're unsure if Peeta's actually going to die or something has to happen, because it's like, I don't think Susan Collins would kill Peeta off
this soon
in the book.
But, I mean, like, it is, I feel like it was a good aspect because so far everyone's pretty much just died of, like, being killed by someone else. And, like, I think it's a good, like, aspect to see that someone could die because of, like, an infection or something or just, like, a regular sickness that you could get anywhere.
Shows how dangerous the games really are. Like,
even though, like, he did get the cut because of someone else, it shows that you have to worry about more than just other people.
So I feel like a lot of times in these adventure-type stories, like, we kind of, like, don't put as much value on, like, getting injured as we should in real life. Like, someone, like, falls from, like, 20 feet, and we're like, oh, they'll be fine. Like, stuff like that, because, like, we know that they will. But, like, this just shows that that's not realistic at all.
Yeah.
You know, it's, like, it's not, like, an external... It's an internal, the blood poisoning, too. It's not...
Yeah.
But like, I mean, obviously he has the leg wound, but still, that was the cause of the blood poisoning.
Mm-hmm.
So, alright. Next we go on to, I think this line's really funny. She says, it's my new best friend, Claudius Temple-Smith. I think that's just very funny.
Boy, so dummy.
And as I expected, he's inviting us to a feast. Then he says, now hold on, some of you may already be declining my invitation, but this is no ordinary feast. Each of you needs something desperately. So.
Okay, I have a question. What does he mean by feast? There's no, like, is that just supposed to be, like, funny?
Actually, like, it's an allusion to cornucopias because, like, Thanksgiving, you would put the cornucopia.
Oh, that's good.
And there's food and stuff. So I think it's a feast because that's where you're meeting. You're meeting at the
cornucopia. And, like, everyone knows that's the lingo for, like, I'm inviting you to go, like,
I think it originated from...
Like, she mentioned earlier. Cornucopia has everything you need in there. Like, going to, like, even with the food and everything has, like, apples, vegetables, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, like, saying something you need. So it's going to have it. It's going to have, like, what Katniss actually needs. And right now, she needs something to heal Peeta's
leg. Do you guys think there's any, like, symbolism in that it's a cornucopia instead of anything else?
I wonder.
Capricornia?
Capricornia.
Maybe, like...
Come on.
We'll save that for another time.
Spit it out.
Okay. We'll on this and discuss it later.
Alright.
Let's do that.
Okay. So then Claudius continues saying that how there's going to be a backpack marked with your district number at the cornucopia. Yeah, I said it right. At dawn. Think hard about refusing to show up. For some of you, this will be your last chance. So, that's a little bit of a tension there.
I think threatening.
So it's like, what do you think it's disturbing how much...
They're going to die if they don't get
this. I mean, so obviously, that's kind of, like, directed exactly at Peeta.
Last chance, like, either they're going to die, or last chance, like, they're not going to serve it up again. Like, there's only one chance to do it.
But, yeah.
It's so creepy how he knows exactly, like, he anticipates so much of their movements and what they're thinking. Like, some of you may already be declining, like...
I don't know if you wrote this down in your sheet with romantic things. But Peeta says no. He says, you're not risking your life for me. Is that one of them? No.
Well, yes.
That's cute.
I don't really know.
Are you bored by this?
No, I was...
I mean, obviously, the chapters are very... I don't think there's anything actually eventful that really happened in the chapters, really. It was just more like them opening up to each other, and it's more analytical stuff.
Kissing and singing, getting hot
That was really loud.
Sorry, just that the way she said it just sounded...
sounded like it was a code word or something.
Yeah, it sounded a little bit...
Ralph.
She's making some insinuations.
I wasn't. I was just talking about broth.
I don't remember. What did she give him that word? This.
Remember, because they had that argument about, like, and they were both adamant about.
Right, I know, but what did she
do? And then Haymitch sent down the sleeping serum.
Oh, right.
And she figured out that he wanted it to use. She wanted her to use it to not speed out.
So she, like, says it was going to help him with. What'd she say? It help him feel better with his leg?
No, it's to put him to sleep.
No, she tricked him. She tricked him by saying. She put it in a food. And she made him eat it. And so.
I like how she called them sugar berries. Why didn't you pick up on that, Peeta? I love how he's so smart and he thinks about all these plans. And
but he just trusts Katniss
sometimes
so much.
He's so completely oblivious.
Yeah, it's kind of not a benefit to him.
But sugar berries?
Yeah.
Why would he?
That sounds like you're my sugar berry.
He was also delusional because he's got a fever. Come on, guys. True. I mean, he's like,
all right, let's go
mentally ill right now.
He's just completely trusting Katniss, so.
Aww.
So
not
like
good. Not good.
Not a good idea.
His eyes widen as he realizes the truth. I clamp my hand over his mouth and nose hard, forcing him to swallow instead of spit. He tries to make himself vomit the stuff up, but it's too late. He's already losing conscience. Even as he fades away, I can see in his eyes that what I've done is unforgivable.
But it is, though, because he, like, totally doesn't mention it after it happens. Like, they never talk about it again. That's so funny.
But that should be a sign, too, that this is happening, like, in his eyes. He's obviously not acting for the camera, so he really does care about her saving her life. Like, he obviously cares about her. Why didn't you pick up on that, Katniss?
Slash girl.
Oh, Katniss. Slash girl, yeah.
Okay, so that was our BBS Katniss Everdeen.
Yay, chapter done.
That was pretty dry, but...
You know, you got the good chapters, got the bad chapters.
Yeah,
those
and
were
you got
great
a good,
chapters.
Yeah, chapter 19 was great, guys.
Like,
I didn't even know what happened.
It depends. I feel like it depends what kind of audience member you are. Like, if you're really into the action and adventure, then those weren't the chapters for you. If you're really into romance and seeing the romance bud, those were the chapters for you.
Mariah.
Yeah, those were the chapters from you. The diehard romantic. That was me.
Okay. So now we move on to our. Well, it has a new segment title, as we had a winner for the segment. It originally was called Maths Melodious Music, but now it's called Capital Opera, which I like the name so much better. So, every podcast episode, I will play a song that connects to the novel. This week, I've selected an official song from the Hunger Games soundtrack, which is titled Safe and Sound by Taylor Swift and Civil Wars. I'll post this video under the segment tab under Capital Opera. And remember, guys, you can submit your own original songs or favorite songs to Twitter. You can just tweet us at nightloftpod, which Kira handles, or email us at nightloftpodcast@gmail.com, and we may have your song featured. So many listeners suggested that we actually play the song, and I listened to it a lot, and I think it's probably, it's not one of the songs that she would normally sing, because she sings about relationships and romance and all that stuff. This is completely different.
Why don't we listen to it, and then we'll talk about it.
Just close your eyes.
Like what I was saying before, before the song, it's like something. It's really, she usually plays a lot of fast songs and has like that country feel to it. But this was more
country
of like
twang.
Well,
it was. This had more of like the mellow. Like, really deep. Come on, what do you got?
Okay, well, it's just Taylor Swift. You're hearing the stuff that she has on the radio, but she does have a lot of slower songs.
I know she does.
And she has things that are not always about romantic relationships.
I'm saying like a vast majority of her songs like that.
Yeah, like when I heard that. T Swift was doing a song for Hunger Games. I actually I think I heard about it before. Like
you would
I read
assume
about
that it would be like a.
I wasn't excited because I thought one, it was just gonna be you know that guitar twangy thing, you know, banjo, whatever. But And I was like, that doesn't fit. And also, Taylor Swift is, like, I don't want to sound weird or, like, hipstery, but Taylor Swift is kind of mainstream, so it's like, I don't know if I want that, because then people are going to be like, oh, Taylor Swift, the Hunger Games are related, oh my god.
But, like, you know, yeah, so. It's also kind of a question, like, Kira brought this up, if they actually paid her to make the song, she actually wrote it herself because she read the book, because we don't
but
know.
But also, we don't know if it's going to be in the movie. Like, example, Twilight, there's lots of soundtrack, like, not all of the songs are actually in the movie.
It could just be in the credits or something like that. But, saying, after I did listen to the song, it isn't just like, as you guys have heard, it isn't just that banjo twang thing. It's got, like, other music in
it. And the good thing is that she does not mention Katniss or Peeta's name. She doesn't mention anyone related to Hunger Games. So it kind of makes it seem like this might not be Hunger Games if you don't know, like, what the book's about and, like, what the interior means. Like, when she says the music's gone, she's referring to Rue because Rue died and everything. So it's all that kind of stuff. It's all those intertwined.
That's what I really like about it, because it's really amorphous. Like, it could be talking about any relationship. It could be talking about her and Rue, her and Peeta. Like, or just her and her trying to protect her family.
I just hope that it doesn't become one of those songs that you hear on the radio. It's like, the radio people are like, a new Taylor Swift song, and then they play it. I'm like, actually,
and then
this
like,
is deep.
No,
I don't want that.
It.
But, like, I feel like it connects more to Catching Fire than it does for Hunger Games. And I wish it was, like, in that, if they do put it in the movie, which I kind of doubt at this point, I feel like it's just going to have the sound, like, the actual, you know, composers making the music.
Yes,
it's not going to have, like,
I mean, some,
Taylor Swift singing
when
they're running
around.
A lot of
movies don't have lyrical songs. They're more just, like, background orchestral instrumental music. Like, if you guys watch Main State Pro did that cave scene with Katniss and Peeta.
Yes, they're
if
testing.
You haven't watched it, watch it later. Yeah. It was like a screen test, and they had piano music in the
it
background.
It was the British Peeta guy.
British Peeta.
Yeah.
The
actor was British. They weren't, like, trying to make him British. The actor's just British, but...
So, that's just, like, they wouldn't... With those kind of emotional scenes, they wouldn't have lyrical music.
No. Yeah, I feel like this isn't the sort of movie that would need lyrics in their music.
No.
Yeah.
Like, I played a few songs for you that had, like, big drums and all that kind of stuff. It made it seem like it was intense music. So.
Well, I guess that's a wrap, basically, for the episode.
Woo!
Just some plugging
we
things
here.
We got
through it, you guys.
Yes, we got,
we got through it.
So, episodes are released on the 2nd and 4th Sunday of the month. So, our next episode is the 22nd, so you guys can check back on iTunes then. So, if you guys could write us a review on iTunes, that would be very helpful. And also contact us with anything related to the podcast. If you want us to read something on Mocking Mail, whatever you want. That's nightlockpodcast@gmail.com. So you can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe us on iTunes. You can find all those links on our website, nightlockpodcast.com. Again, that's nightlockpodcast.com. So we have a new little twist for our ending. And so from now on, starting with the new year, we're going to have a new outro.
Oh,
and so,
okay, outro.
Intro, outro, it's how it works.
Yeah, okay.
So we will end every show with a host recommending a book that readers of The Hunger Game may enjoy, something that's similar in some fashion. So.
So we're going to go off by name, say, like, your name, and then
the
book you recommend and the author. So.
So I'll go first, for example. I'm Kira, and I recommend Divergent by Veronica Roth. And it's very similar. I was talking about this to Mariah before we recorded. And we've both read it. And it has a lot of parallels to The Hunger Games. It's got, like, five factions instead of, like, 12 districts. It's got each faction has its own kind of feel to it.
Yeah, it's definitely dystopian. Totally, you know.
Yeah.
And I think it's more so because I think it's in a real city. Like, the setting is in
Chicago, I believe.
Yeah. And so you can actually, like, the author-described city building
is
falling
It's more,
down.
You can more kind of imagine what their kind of country, or not country, but, like, what their society looks like where everything is. You have more of a map in your head of it than The Hunger Games. But, yeah, so I recommend Divergent by Veronica Roth.
R-O-T-H, Roth. Okay. all right. I'm Mariah, and I am recommending Shipbreaker by Paolo... I'm sorry if I messed this up. It's, like, Italian or something.
Bacigalupi, I think.
Bacigalupi? I don't know. It sounded good when I said it, but okay. So, this is, again, it's another dystopian, which is basically what The Hunger Games is. So, it isn't... I was a little hesitant reading it at first because I usually, like, if it's going to be a first-person type of book, I would rather have it, like, a female be the narrator of it, I guess. But this time, the book is from a male's perspective. And it's pretty good. It's, you know, it's a little more graphic, I think, and a little more dirtier than The Hunger Games, if that's possible. I mean,
yeah.
It's a little dirtier than The Hunger Games because it's about this kid who works on ships, and that's his job, and he takes apart these big ships, and then from there, he kind of finds adventure. So, I don't know, it was a great book. It also won an award, I think, a Prince Award, I think.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, so it won a Prince Award. It was very good. Paulo B., I'll just call him Paulo B., has done other award-winning books, so he's a really great author, and that's my book recommendation.
Okay, well, this is Diana, and going back to our friend John Green, you know him if you've read Looking for Alaska, I'm going to recommend his new book that comes out in a few days, actually, and it's called The Fault in Our Stars, and it's not very related to The Hunger Games at all, but from what I know of it, because he reads the first two chapters on YouTube if you want to check it out to see if you want to, you know, you're interested in it at all, it seems to be a lot about the whole family dynamic and this girl coming to terms with her own mortality, and trying to protect her family and that whole family dynamic. So if you think that sounds interesting, you should go check it out on YouTube.
That's like the wild card recommendation. That has like nothing to do with the Hunger Games.
Wait, Matt, you're doing two recommendations.
No, do you want to do the second one or not?
Can I do a second one, Kira?
Save it for next episode.
Oh, okay.
I promise we'll have you back.
Yay.
Probably.
Okay, I'm Matt, and I recommend Pirates by Celia Reese. This is, I don't know if it's kind of related to Hunger Games, because it's not like a dystopian society, but it's more of, like, focuses on a girl during the time of, like, during the pirate age when the pirates were there. It was like,
the pirate age,
like, you know, like, Pirates of the Caribbean, like, that time of, like, that time period. And she goes off, and she's trying to escape. Like, the guy who's after her kind of reminds me of President Snow, someone who's constantly tracking her and someone who's after her. It's sort of like her survival on a,
Les Miserables,
Javert.
French literature.
So, I think the writing is, it's from the girl's perspective. I think the writing isn't really too hard, isn't too basic. It's kind of, like, in the middle. I think it's, like, equally as The Hunger Games, but, her description that Celia has is very good. I pictured everything perfectly, like, the way everything was described, and the inner thoughts between the characters were just very good, so. And also, like, the language, because it's in that past time, so they speak differently than we do now. So, thanks for tuning in, guys, and we'll have you, see you next for episode, I can talk, episode 14, we will see you next time.
And that's January 22nd, so check back iTunes then, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi guys, and welcome to Nightlock Podcast. This is Matt and Kira. We are your two hosts for Nightlock, and we're actually, I can't talk!
Shut up! You said podcast instead of podcast.
Like twice.
You said podcast.
You're like, we got to
do
nice.
We're so our
podcast. Yeah, that's what Diana's
Kira, you really don't need to be so formal.
What?
I'm just like lay back.
Yeah, I am lay back. Anyway, so she was talking about
I just saw The Descendants over the weekend, and it's set in Hawaii, and I really wanted to go to Hawaii.
Is that with George Clooney?
Yes.
I want to see that.
It's really not.
Field trip.
Yeah. Hunger Games.
Right. Okay.
Back to The Hunger Games.
So it was like a countdown.
Come on, you guys.
Clapping is not good for recording, guys.
Oops, gonna edit that out. Okay.
So, that was a high five, not a clap. It's different.
I used to be in District 4, but I logged on again, and they moved me down to District 9.
Wait, what?
Well, I think because you signed in using my Facebook or something. It was weird, because every time I sign up, it's like, welcome, Mariah. I'm like, oh, really?
You need to go back on your computer to get higher up.
Should I know? I'm sorry,
we
Kira.
Skip.
Well, we're
we
can't.
We don't have time.
I'm such a bad fan.
After the podcast, we'll do it.
All right.
This is difficult with four people. We're all talking over each other.
I know. We have to, like, stop doing that. Okay.
Matt?
Guys, shut up.
Matt, you've been interrupting everyone.
I have things to say.
We have our segue into our new segment. Sorry, not a new segment. This is, like, our original segment here.
Kind of opposite.
Yeah, not new at all.
We're stating the obvious.
Wow, Matt.
All right,
thank
you, Captain Obvious. Three, the victor. We have been mentioning, like, what part.
What'd you do?
All I did was raise my eyebrows, and Kira just lost it.
Spoiled.
No, you're allowed to say that.
As long as you don't mention...
Oh, right, I guess you can.
CF and MJ, we're good.
Who's C?
Wait, Slayer, Mockingjay. Come on, get with the lingo. So.
Oh my god, edit that out.
Okay, we can't. Don't freak out.
Don't freak out.
I have that power. So PETA's name escapes her lips before. Today. Oh my god. This is gonna take me 6 hours. Comments,
no, not even, needed.
You're such good vocab today.
I think that the audience would like to know that Matt.
Bang it out here and just bang it out.
I will put
the
that as a blooper. The bloopers will be 10 minutes alone.
Purpleless.
Okay. So.
Sorry, Matt.
So
you've been glaring at me this whole
I'm
time.
I'm not. I'm zoning out.
Well, pay attention, my friend.
That was
we are live on air.
That was my cover up.
Just look at me the whole time.
PETA's leg is described as, quote, the deep, inflamed, gash, oozing both blood and pus. Smell.
Sorry, that wasn't funny at all.
That's quote
your brother right. Just looks ridiculous in those clothes outside the window.
What is he doing?
All right, guys, focus. Seriously. Thank you.
I'm sorry, that just looks...
He looks so cute.
Yeah, he's...
He's what is he
it's
wearing?
It's grass, it's moss.
He obviously can't rake anyway.
It's moss. You can't rake moss.
He
obviously can't rake. What's that supposed to mean?
He looks like he's dressed in like 18th century bum clothes. Hey, Jay Bear.
Okay, so I'm going to read this quote again if you guys will just shut up.
Feisty.
Yeah.
How do you spell dying?
That's not how you spell dying.
Whatever.
How do you spell dying?
With a Y.
That's what I thought.
Whatever.
Not with D-I-E-I-N-G. When does that... Oh my god, Kira. Okay. Alright.
He wrote it last night.
Hey, I know I had...
I saw you doing it last night.
Next quote, let's go. Okay.
Right.
Wait, why were you with Matt last night?
I wasn't.
What?
I saw him on the Google Docs. I was watching over
him. Alright, this is a good one here. Hey, come on.
So...
Alright.
You need to be nicer to Kira?
No, really.
So
like,
nice,
my self-confidence
like...
is going so much down now.
Oh, yeah. Come on. Kira, I feel like you're pretty every day.
Do you?
I do.
You're an idiot.
Kira, you seem so nice and chill, and then, like, once you get to know you...
It's... No,
that's
it's like just math that annoys me.
No, that's
me
what I told Kevin about you. I said you're really shy
that's
when
nice.
People don't know you.
Do you remember episode 6 that I was on? And like,
Seven.
And we did, like, a bunch... We talked for, like 5 minutes about this like pun of I don't want to be a PC. That's not a pun, by the way. Like my mom listened to it, she's like, that's not a pun, Mariah. And I was like, oh, okay.
Did anyone else pick up on like pita bread, pita bread, pita
yeah.
bread?
Yeah.
Ah!
Yeah.
Did that one on Reddit, girl.
What?
No, never mind. What do you say? I don't know.